T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the final hour of Fans and the Pros. I'm Zach Streif, my partner Deuce McAllister beside me. We're here live from Go Brewing in Auburn, Washington. Any Saints fans that are in the area, we'll hang around a little bit after this show. Come and check us out. We'd love to meet you on Main Street. Having a good time here tonight, Deuce. Before we left.
Well, even before you get into that, man, they got this gentleman from San Juan Cigar Company. Some fresh handcrafted cigars, and I guess he's here every big event, you know, when they're having some here at the brewery. He does a really nice job, Zach.
He is rolling cigars right next to us. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
We're struggling. You know what I mean? Like, if you were rolling egg rolls, that would be fair. That would be cruel and unusual. And cigars, also cruel and unusual.
Cruel and unusual, but I guess made right here. Oh, man, look at the tobacco there. He's got it already dried out, and he's got the roller going, but made right here in the Northwest. So that's pretty cool. And they also are about to fire up.
We got barbecue going outside.
The barbecue going.
And this is a cool place. This is basically designed to look like the French Quarter. We've got the bar looks like the French Quarter. Actually, friends of mine at Southern Wood on the North Shore in Covington made this bar out of Sinker Cypress. It's beautiful. We got the Louisiana State flag. It's all Saints and LSU. So it kind of feels like we didn't leave, right?
No.
We found a place to be at New Orleans at home, and anybody coming in for the game, come down here and check it out in downtown Auburn. Very cool place. And also, we did a collaboration with them at Port Orleans, and both collaborations, both sides, both ours and theirs, the Go to Port Beer proceeds to that go to Team Gleason to help their mission. So can't beat that, I'll tell you that right now. Let's talk about the offensive line here for the Seahawks. It's a group. The offensive line in general for the Seattle Seahawks has been much maligned for what seems like Russell Wilson's entire career.
Correct.
They have spent a lot of time and resources putting together a better group. I just don't know that they're getting better results. So last season they make the trade for Duane Brown. In the offseason this year you see him go and grab Mike Iupati. DJ Fluker came over last season. Jermaine Ifedi, who was a first-round pick for them. Justin Britt. At center, another guy they drafted. And ultimately, you're still seeing a group that's given up 8 sacks through 2 games.
And some of that's not on the offensive line.
And that's kind of my point, is if for all of the benefits in having a quarterback that's running around all over the field behind you, it does come with some negatives. And I don't think that this group is – an 8-sack-in-2-game unit, per se. Mm-hmm. But I do think they're dealing with a quarterback that likes to sit back there and pat that ball a whole lot.
Well, no doubt he likes to pat it. And what's interesting is those guys, even some of those starters, have been banged up. You know, and when you look at that group, you know, DJ's dealing with an injury. Ethan Posick is dealing with an injury. You know, he's listed as, I think it's doubtful. And we'll get into both the Saints and the Seahawks as far as players that they've ruled out or et cetera. You know, Mike is dealing with an injury. So that group has just been beat up a little bit, and even their backups have been beat up a little bit. So for the Saints, they have to be able to get after that offensive line. They have to be able to win that battle. And like we said earlier, if you can get pressure on Russell with 4 guys, that's only going to help you with the underneath coverage, because I do like Will Disley, their tight end. I think he's a second-year guy out of Washington. He's a kid that can give you some problems.
Yeah, he had a big start to his career last year. Ended up getting put on IR in 2018. But, he was really productive last season. Actually had 2 touchdown catches last week versus Pittsburgh, and in his first NFL game had a 66-yard touchdown catch against the Denver Broncos. So he's certainly a guy that has shown promise. One of the things I think you'll see the Saints do against this group and it's for two reasons, really. One, I think it's the right thing to do against Russell Wilson. I think it's very hard against mobile quarterbacks to rush in straight – well, you certainly can't rush upfield, right, because he's going to take off on you. But even compressing a pocket with a straight rush is very difficult. I think with these guys that like to get outside the pocket, you're going to see a lot of games with the front four, a lot of movement up front. And it's something that they, quite honestly, have become very good at. And I would give credit on this to Ryan Nielsen, because there are defensive lines that can run games and defensive lines that cannot. And they might actually call them and they might do them, but it's like a break.
Right.
It's a playoff. The Saints last week against the Rams were phenomenal with their movement up front. And you saw a lot of several of the hits on the quarterback came not so much on tremendous individual efforts, but on great games where you have a tackle penetrating, getting inside on a guard who can't come off on a TE. And you saw, you know, you see the lines get off their rush lines. The pockets are collapsing. But the other thing that it does with rushing quarterbacks is it allows you an opportunity to force him into a flush a certain direction. So you might see him feel like, man, I'm getting pressure inside, I got a flush, and yet there's a looper coming around to cover that. And it really does it makes that escape a lot more difficult and more complex. I think the Saints are going to do it a lot. They did it last week very well. They did it a lot against the Houston Texans. And quite honestly, their personnel almost mandates it at this point. You look at their third down rush group, when you have guys like Marcus Davenport and Trey Hendrickson, you don't necessarily want those guys rushing straight one-on-one.
Right.
But you give those guys a chance to move, and you start getting some production. You see Trey Hendrickson sack last week. If you really look at that, that's Marcus Davenport.
That was Davenport.
Penetrating, right. And the guard gets caught on it, and Trey comes free. So I think that group is playing really well together, and I would expect – we see a whole lot of that on Sunday.
Well, I definitely agree with you in that sense. And, you know, basically when you run those TE stunts or ET stunts as far as one guy twisting and the other one, his job is to pick. And so a lot of times, particularly in the Houston game, you know, a lot of people were upset. Well, you know, Davenport didn't have a sack. He was probably responsible for two sacks.
Right.
You know, and he didn't get credit for those sacks, but he was responsible for two of those sacks. And so even some of those pressures – it may not be your turn to be the guy that gets the sack. You know, in some one-on-one situations, yes. But when you're running a game, like you talked about, Davenport creating the pressure that Trey was able to get the sack last week, when you're running a game, your job is to pick off or pin the offensive line. And if you don't do your job, then the guy that the actual play is for may not be able to do his job. So I think it's important when you talk about the Saints being their NASCAR package, basically where they have three defensive end, Cam Davenport and Trey Hendrickson in the game. And, you know, we've seen them use Malcolm Brown. We've seen them use Onyemata as the defensive tackle, that they stay at home. You know, another thing that you do for an offense, and I think really particularly with this team, is – somebody's got to stay at home from a linebacker situation. You can't get in a 3rd-and-13 or a 3rd-and-14 situation. And we've seen defenses across the league, but just talking about the Saints, play this stick type of coverage where basically the safeties and the linebackers, they drop back 10 yards, 12 yards, and they protect the sticks. Well, if I'm the offense, I'm gonna just run, displace the D line, and get my offensive lineman out front to be able to. You know, if you break one tackle, that's a first down. That's what you can't do. And I think this is a team that, you know, particularly with how they're coached, they're not afraid to run a draw. You
right.
know, they're not afraid no. to run a screen and then get the offensive lineman out front where they can pick up some, we call it cheap yardage. But that's what, you know, this type of team will do. So you've got to be able to stay at home. You know, we talked about when you played Deshaun Watson having a spy. I still think that'll occur with this team. But, you know, and this leads us into our injuries as far as what happened this week when you talk about the linebackers. I think we'll get our first opportunity to see Kiko Alonso be involved, you know, whether it's base, you know, we don't know how they're going to play nickel, whether it'll, you know, in the past it's been A.J. Klein, It's been DeMario and Anzalone, but let's just say they go with AJ. We figure in 4-3 base, that you will get Kiko in the middle. AJ will play the Sam, and DeMario will play the wheel. I'm interested to see how that unfolds. You know, can they stop the run with those front seven if they do go seven in the box, or when they do go base 4-3? Last week, the second half, it took them the second half to play the Rams' stretch game. They were in nickel in the first half.
Right.
And they had PJ really setting the edge, and they had DeMario being the other guy, almost like a 6-1 look as far as defense is concerned. I want to see if that's similar approach to how they try to attack the Seahawks as far as their run game with that front seven.
We'll also talk when we come back about Rashad Penny, who showed up on the injury report for the first time this afternoon, possibly had something come up, and how that will affect the ground game alongside Chris Carson. Lots more still to come here on Fans and the Pros on WWL. A little Soundgarden Deuce. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Deuce McAllister, I'm Zach Streif. Here at Go Brewing in Auburn, Washington. This is the official, I'm calling it official, the official Who Dat Bar here in Auburn. And Deuce, take that headset off. I'm going to talk to my guy Jeremy here.
You ain't want to talk to me no way. I
don't want to talk to you anyways.
Here you go, Jeremy. Talk to me.
So Jeremy and I actually, we contacted each other on Instagram, really, and they were releasing a beer down here for Ales for ALS, which is a program that Yakima Chief does where you can get a blend of hops, and you basically just have to agree, hey, we're going to take this beer and we're going to donate $1 from every pint, you know, to Ales for ALS. And I said, well, you know, I got a guy out in Washington that seems to like Louisiana a whole lot, and you know, maybe we can do something out there. And so I contacted you, and turns out you're from Metairie.
Right.
So not so far away from us, huh?
No. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. I mean, it's cool that we connected through Instagram. I mean, that was, like, you know, you wrote this thing. I've told other people this. I didn't tell you this. You know, my name is Zach Streif. I play with the Stains and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, you stop right there. I know who you are. So, I mean, one of the things we were talking about, like, these people that are taking pictures of me right now and videotaping. These are some of our core group. We had a tiny little spot in Bellevue that one day I decided I was going to bite the bullet and get NFL Sunday ticket, and we were going to show games at 10 o'clock in the morning. And for, I think, probably the first year, it was about three or four of us.
This was it, huh?
This is kind of, yeah. And it was super cool. I mean, I didn't mind. At the time, I didn't live that very far from the brewery. But we were just commenting on the fact that now look at where we are. You know, you guys are doing your broadcast from our bar, you know, and we're 2,500 miles away from home.
Right.
It's super cool.
It's very cool. You know? And now the room's full of Saints fans.
Now it's full of Saints fans. The Seahawks fans are walking in here going, what the hell is going on? So I love it. I love the fact that everybody showed up, even with the Russell Wilson jerseys. And I, you know, it's so awesome to see so many transplants up here that are supporting, you know, us and, of course, the Saints.
And, you know, everywhere we go, you talk about, man, the Saints fans seem to travel. You kind of run into them everywhere. And I know there's a lot of people in the Gulf South that kind of say, hey, I want to pick a game and go to one this year. But what it really seems like to me is people that leave, like you did, that get out, it's like there's just a piece of you that never really leaves there. Like, you could never turn your back. It's not like, hey, I like the Saints because I'm from New Orleans. Like, you made a whole business on I like the Saints in New Orleans, right?
Yeah. I mean, this theme wouldn't work very well in New Orleans, but here it works great. And it is a little odd. It's a little bit jarring for people that don't know the connection. But, I mean, I've told other people this, too, is that not everybody gets a chance to experience New Orleans. And certainly people who live up here they don't necessarily know what New Orleans is about. And I just tried to bring a little bit of home up here and share it with other people, do the best that I could. And, you know, but we've built this crew, this motley crew of Saints fans and diehard, you know, NOLA folks And it's awesome. I mean, it's just, it's really, really fun.
And you guys really, I mean, your beers are branded New Orleans. Your menu is New Orleans. I know last time you were in town, it was like, well, we're on a research mission, right?
I had a lot of po' boys. I'm still wearing XL clothes because of that trip.
And how have people here in Auburn, Washington reacted to food from Louisiana?
Generally pretty good. Generally pretty good. I was, you know, as a, I'll bring up the conversation we had in our fun little fire truck earlier. We got some feedback from a customer that said that there wasn't enough healthy options. Yeah, see, he's laughing. So
it's not exactly what we do
in
there,
New Orleans.
Right?
It's not about health. I mean, it's about having fun and enjoying yourself, and that's what's been great about this place is that we get a chance to have po' boys. We bring up the bread from New Orleans. We bring up, you know, we do the muffaladas.
Yeah, you guys are shipping
bread
from Louisiana.
Yes,
correct.
Yes. Because you can't do it up here. You just can't.
No, it's different. It's the water, right?
It's the water.
We like to say that.
I think it's a little bit of, you know, TLC that's going into it as well.
Absolutely.
So.
And then how can people, obviously, this is a long way away. We talked about it before we did this. But Seattle's a great city. If people haven't been here, it really is a beautiful place. And so when they come up here, Give me your website. Give me your Instagram. I think it's a great follow for people to just to see and interact, you know, with somebody that really has brought New Orleans all the way out to the West Coast.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Instagram's at GoBrew, GoBrewing.com. And for those of you back home, you know it's G-E-A-U-X, not G-O, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, absolutely. And then, of course, we did that collaboration beer, which you still have, I'm thinking, a little bit on tap.
Yep, we got some left.
So people should be coming to visit your place as well and try the beer that we made together, which, you know, was all for a good cause. So
yeah, absolutely.
Not to plug your place for you, but I'm doing
no,
that.
That's great. You know, you can plug my place all you want. But, okay. Jeremy, thank you so much for hosting us. And certainly to all the people that are here today, it's been a lot of fun. We were telling them, otherwise me and Deuce would be sitting in our hotel room
right now
doing this. So not quite as much energy maybe, you know, out of us. So we appreciate you having us, and it's been a great getting to know you and getting to do this collab with
absolutely
you.
Thanks
hopefully
a lot,
more in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, buddy, thank you very much.
Thanks.
So you look forward, we talked about it, right? Yes, let that Motley crew give you a round of applause. Well deserved. TV this morning, radio tonight. I mean, what's next? Guys gonna be in a movie next weekend. One of the things that popped up today on the injury report, I think it's worth discussing or at least bringing up, Rashad Penny, one of the running backs for the Seattle Seahawks, was listed with a hamstring injury. Happened in practice on Friday, apparently. They also added one of their starting cornerbacks, Trey Flowers, to that injury report. And so, you know, listen, I'm not saying that that's it's not going to change a whole lot, right? That CJ Procise would probably get a lot more carries, fourth-year guy out of Notre Dame. But Rashad Penny's a really explosive player. You might remember him from college. He was the first-round pick of the Seahawks last season.
San Diego broke a lot of Marshall's records.
Yes. He averaged 7.5 yards a carry over four seasons as a starter, Deuce.
That's hard to do, man. I mean,
that is unbelievable.
I don't care if you are at San Diego, you know, as far as the caliber of talent, you know, it's still hard to do when you talk about putting up numbers. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, and this is something that popped up on him today. So he was only a limited participant. And right now he's listed as questionable. And when you talk about the cornerback, Trey Flowers, he didn't practice at all. Apparently he had an ankle injury on Thursday, which limits him already. And so they let him take off today to try to get a little more rest. And so he's listed as questionable. And then you talked about on the offensive side of the ball, well, three other guys, their safety, Tedrick Thompson, who has been starting for him. He was a limited participant.
And he missed last week against the Steelers. So.
Correct. And so he's listed as a questionable. And the only two that are doubtful, cornerback Nico Thorpe.
And who's their special teams captain.
Yeah, he's doubtful with a hamstring and then a neck injury. Ethan Posick, also he's the backup guard for both left guard and right guard for him. He hadn't practiced all week. You know, I would be surprised if Thorpe plays as well because he hadn't practiced all week as well. Both of those guys are the two doubtful players as far as for the Seahawks. And when you look at it from the Saints' standpoint, already ruled out. Sheldon Rankins, Drew Brees, and Tre'Quan Smith are the players that have been ruled out. And today, really, that practice fully for the week, really don't they don't have game status, or Andres Pete, Zach Line, and Ted Ginn Jr. You know, I figure, well, we figure all of those guys, all three of those guys will play. They were limited, but they don't have any game status. So normally that means you're going. So we know three of the Saints inactives as far as going into the game. So they have to obviously produce another four. And then Alize Mack, his contract was terminated with this team. I know they signed back defensive tackle. We talked about it yesterday. First rookie free agent,
Taylor Stallworth to the practice squad.
Yeah, Taylor Stallworth signed back to the practice squad.
Yeah.
And I guess it was for today, and that's why they released maybe Alize Mack. I'm not sure, numbers game. But I know they did release Alize Mack today, and they did sign back Taylor Stallworth. So some ruffling, shuffling going on, and then obviously – with the Saints, they'll have to declare four more players inactive on game day, 90 minutes. We know three of them that will already be out. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Seahawks kind of handle their injured guys as well.
Yep, and worth noting, and good news for Saints fans, that Drew Brees has not been put on short-term IR. That would be 8 weeks. So hopefully they're expecting to get him back a little bit sooner than that. We'll have to wait and see how that rehab goes. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Drew, right?
Yeah, but one thing is interesting, and not to get away from that Drew part, but I guess in Sean's presser today, he talked about Alex Anzalone needing a little more in-depth surgery. So he was a candidate as well, but they don't think that he's going to be able to come back early. So that's disappointing. I know early on they thought maybe once they went in it wasn't going to be as bad, but I think that they had to do maybe a little more in-depth surgery, so he's probably not going to be back this year. So you'll just have to wait and see. And so right now, like you said, Drew will not go on the injury reserved, and so you still can bring two guys back. So if that's not the case, then you know we're looking at that 6 week time frame possibly.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Chris Carson, the outstanding running back for the Seahawks, as well as our keys to the game. This is Fans and the Pros here on WWL.
Sing it, Juice. Go ahead, buddy. Don't be shy.
If you hadn't called me out, I would have kept on.
Hello, Aletta Adams. That was for my guy, Deuce. My guy, Deuce, loves a little gospel music every now and then, a little soul. There it is. Just so you guys know, if you listen to the podcast version of this on WWL.com, you can hear Deuce singing without any of the music.
Yeah, they erase the music.
The music is not allowed on the podcast. So just feel free if you'd like to check that out. It's fascinating stuff. WWL is your high school football headquarters. Join us tonight at 7 for the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Join Alan Waddell and Brad Lumine for the most comprehensive high school football coverage in America. We'll have prep reporters filing live updates from all the big games, including John Curtis at Landry Walker, St. Paul's at Destrehan, Gulfport at Slidell, the battle for De Parish, Holy Cross at Chalmette, and many more. We'll also have scoreboard updates on games being played throughout the state, as well as interviews with winning coaches. If you love high school football, don't miss the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup tonight, 7 to 10:30 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the Radio.com app. Before we left, Deuce, we brought up Chris Carson, the tailback, starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Really talented young man, entering his third season out of Oklahoma State, over 1,100 yards last season. He played just 14 games, finished fifth last year in the National Football League. The Seattle Seahawks finished first overall running the football last year, one of only four backs with over six games of 100-plus yards. So a really talented guy, has not really gotten it going yet this year. He's averaging 3.5 a carry. He's got 30 carries for 106 yards. And I think the big glaring thing when you look at Chris Carson this year so far, he's already fumbled the ball twice as well. So that's an area that the Saints, and going into this game with a tough crowd, that winning the turnover ratio is going to be point number one this week. They have got to win that, and he might be an early target.
He would be an early target. We've seen this defense practice it all the time as far as trying to strip a guy. You go back and you were Marshawn Lattimore, his takeaway as far as his ability to be able to go in and take the football away. Look at Marcus Williams, having the ability to be able to cover it through the air as far as takeaways are concerned. This defense needs to be able to take the football away. And I don't know if it's just a confidence issue with Carson or maybe not seeing the hole quite as well, but last week, first week, 180. Last week, 100 yards. They need to even see if they can trim that down even more. Get back to what you were last year at 80 yards. And so if they can be stingy in the front seven, that's only going to help you even more when you talk about putting a lot more on Russell Wilson. And, you know, obviously you need to limit him as far as being a scrambler and being able to hit you with third down rushes or, you know, just breaking the pocket and being able to get out and pick up yardage.
You talk about Russell Wilson's ability to run the football, a big reason why they led the National Football League last year. Averages 5.62 yards a carry over his career and averages about six attempts. So, you know, you're looking to get 30 to 40 yards a game out of him. In his career versus the Saints, 11 carries, 57 yards, 5.27 a carry, you know, about 30 a game. And so that's kind of what he is. And, you know, it'll be something that certainly the Saints – you know, second time in 3 weeks, really, they've had to worry about this mobile quarterback, and that is the wave of the future. That's what they're going to be seeing a lot of moving forward. One other thing I think is worth noting and bringing up, and the Seattle Seahawks are 15-0 in home games in September under Carroll.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. that is really not bad at all. And so, you know, what that tells me, quite honestly, is that, one, it's a tough place to play.
Right.
It is a tough environment to come in and play in. And I think you're playing a football team that can come out of the gate. And I think that they've proven that over time. Although, you know, this is the first year they've been 2-0 out of the gate in a long time. But the beginning of the seasons for this team, particularly at home, have been really good. And the Saints are going to have to find a way to steal a possession, to make a big play, to have some impactful moment in this game to get a win in Seattle.
Well, there's a couple formulas that you have to have when you talk about trying to beat this team. And, you know, you know that you're going on the road, so it's imperative to be able to take care of the football. That will be something that Sean has preached until he's red in the face. You know, we cannot give up the football, particularly on the plus end of the field. You have to be able to score in the red zone. And when I say score, touchdowns. You need touchdowns. You can't come away with field goals against this team. And then the other thing is, guys, we can't beat ourselves. You can't go out there and try to be on offense. Don't go and be Superman. One thing that Michael Thomas talked about, and, you know, when you talked to him earlier this week, he's going to do his part. But, you know, you don't have to go out and break six or seven tackles on a catch. You know, when you talk about Alvin, hey, look, go be Alvin. Go be the playmaker that you are. You don't want to take away from a player, but you don't have to go out and say, man, I got to go make this spectacular play because our leader, our quarterback in here, I can go out and still play the same game that I've always have and be successful and, you know, give yourself a chance to win.
The other thing I think is going to play a huge factor in this game is how this team comes out of the gate.
Yeah.
I don't know if this team is in the frame of mind to experience a big rush early from the Seattle Seahawks to give up a bunch of points in the first quarter, to find themselves behind early on. I think it's really important for this team to get off to a good start in this game, to kind of neutralize the crowd a little bit, to get some confidence going for this team that's kind of, you know, dealt with some stuff the last three games. You know, there's just no getting around it. There has been some things happen. So I think that's huge. And you also look, this team is 52-0 by leading by more than 4 points at halftime under Carroll. And it's just not a position.
You remember the other streak that we broke like that? Houston was the same way at half when they were leading.
Houston over the Bill O'Brien era had the number one record in football in leading at halftime. So we don't want to put ourselves in that position.
We don't want to have to break it again.
No,
but
we don't want to have to do that. And this is a team that has proven that it can finish. And you know, I think getting out to a fast start Sunday is going to be absolutely imperative for this group, and it'll be interesting to see how I think they know that too. It'll be interesting to see how they try to create that.
Well, and how aggressive Sean is, you know, with your play calling, with your formationing, with your personnel groupings. It was interesting. I think it was Mike Triflett tweeted that, and this is just unique. We will have more than likely he will be the only two-way player. Mitchell Lavin will be wearing number 88, you know, and he's somebody that I guess, you know, right now at this point for the Saints, they're basically on the practice squad, but he's giving them looks as a extra tight end, and so it's for the Saints, not to say that they're going to use it this week, maybe it's next week, but, hey, look, man, we got to figure out a way to get our best 46 involved. What's our best 46? And so for the guys, when something like that happens, Zach, and you know it, whenever they told you you were going into the game as a tight end and you had an opportunity, am I bringing up a bad moment?
Sure you are.
And you had an opportunity to go out for a pass, that gets the guys fired up. Now, you need to execute the play, but to see my offensive lineman going in and Sean has a play dialed up for him, that gets the players fired up. Now, what did you decide to do?
Man, I got pulled down before I ever got in the route. I didn't even get a release. Man, quit bringing that stuff up. I got nothing for you. Just for the record, Mitchell Lavin did play tight end at Arkansas, so it does make sense, and the Saints are looking for a little bit of help there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the keys to the game from Deuce and I. See what we think that the Saints are going to have to do to get a win here in Seattle. This is Fans and the Pros on WWL. All right, Mark, turn it up for him. We always finish it up with a little bit of our Saints song. We have the best music. We just like to... We give other cities their chance to match up, but it always comes back to New Orleans.
We got
to
bring it on home.
That's right. We got to bring it on home a lot of different ways. You need to bring a win home tomorrow on Sunday. We got to bring this show home in the next 5 minutes.
We got to bring our bodies home.
We got to get our bodies back to New Orleans because we've been gone forever.
So dude, it'll be good to get back home.
My poor wife. Boy, your poor wife. I feel awful.
We've all talked, man. It feels like we've been gone a month. Man, it's been a minute. But, yeah, it'll be good to get back home and bring a W back home.
Yes, it will. All right, Deuce, what are your tell me what the Saints got to do to win this football game.
Limit the big plays.
Yep.
From a defensive standpoint, you have to be able to contain Russell Wilson. And I think the other thing – win on third down. That's from a defensive standpoint. You know, I think offensively, you have to be able to run the football. I think that'll be critical. Win on first down, and whether it's passes or runs, I don't care. But have positive plays. You prefer plus four plays on first down, and I think Jared Cook has to be a difference maker this game. I mean, he has to be a difference maker this game. And I'm putting a lot of pressure on it. Not that the coaches are, but I think that he will be a difference maker for this team this week.
Yeah, I agree with almost everything. I agree with everything that you said. I think you're right. It's important that Coach Payton remains patient with his play calling in this game. I think it really is important to wear this team down on the ground. I think offensively, you need the running game against the Seattle Seahawks. That is just the way to beat this team, is to beat them up physically. And you have the offensive line, and you have the running backs to do that. And I think that's the first key for me offensively. I think you're going to need to see a couple of big plays out of this offense. You cannot play this game 4 yards at a time. At some point, you've got to take your shots and use some of that talent that you have on this football team down the field to test them. And defensively, for me, keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. Make him a pocket passer. It's not that he's incapable of doing it, but he's so much more dangerous outside of it and shut down this running game. I think this defensive line is going to have a big game this week. I really don't feel like Seattle matches up really well on the offensive line to the Saints' defensive front. I think that there's several mismatches there. I think Cam Jordan has another big day against these guys. I don't think Jermaine Ifedi is the guy you want blocking Cam Jordan. I just don't.
Yeah, so you know Cam, you're going to be double teamed.
Yep, and I think those other guys can win. I don't think those interior players are good enough athletes to play the games that this team is going to run on them defensively. I think that they have a big day, and I think that's the key to really stopping Seattle is to kind of beat them at their own game, especially at home in their house. Do you want to take a shot here at a score guess?
Now, this one I do have close. I'm going to go 27-24.
Who?
I like the Saints. Saints have to have it. Not a must win, but they need a W.
Yeah, I mean, you said last week it wasn't a must win.
No, I didn't think last week was a must win. But this one
is a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't think last week was a must win, but this one probably a little more, let's just say, oomph in your step.
Yeah.
You need a W on this tough road trip.
Yeah.
You need a W on this tough road trip.
I think this, you look forward to this team, what has happened with Drew Brees being out. Imagine this team understanding how to win without Drew Brees over the next 6-7 weeks, however long that is, coming together, finding those ways to win, being physical on the ground, playing great defense, rallying behind a quarterback, and then getting Drew Brees back with a team that's that battle-tested.
You didn't give me a score, though.
I was trying to talk until we were done, so I didn't have to do it. I think it's going to be a little bit lower, 21-20 New Orleans Saints. I think it's going to be a tight one, but it's going to be a good game. Looking forward to it. We want to thank Mark Menard back in the booth taking care of us, Diane Newman, our program director, and all of you for listening in. This is Fans and the Pros. Thank you for listening in here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.